Hey everybody, this is Ferg from the Atari 2600 Game by Game Podcast, and you are listening to Throwback Reviews with your hosts Sean and Rob, right here on ThrowbackNetwork.net, part of this complete breakfast. Honeycomb bite, it tastes right.
Hello. These things still working? Yes, we're still here twice a year. And it's the end of the year now. We're wrapping up. We, Rob and I had been talking and we said, hey, you know, I think it'd be kind of good to bring the show back before the end of the year and see if we get things rolling again. Because we're constantly, you know, we talk all the time as it is, but we've been so busy this year that we had kind of put the podcast to the side for a little bit. Work for me and podcasting, some other podcasts I'm doing, and just family stuff. Rob's been going to school a ton and working full time. He's had to put a lot of his stuff on hold as well, all his other shows, but you can talk about that, Rob, Mr. Rob O'Hara.
What's going on? Yeah, it's like everything's been on hold for a while. You got school, you got kid stuff, you got work stuff. It just things that, you know, you run out of time. You just, and hobbies and stuff seem to be the thing that are the easiest ones to set on the shelf, but you don't want them to go away forever.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the past year and a half, we've definitely slowed down on the episodes, maybe even the past 2 years, and we've tried to say, oh, we're gonna do this one, and things just happen. But this is something that, you know, for one, this is an excuse for you and I to kind of, I guess, virtually hang out because you live in Oklahoma and I'm up here in Buffalo. So it's an excuse other than when we talk on the app Voxer that we've mentioned numerous times before. It gives us an excuse to kind of hang out. So, and I know that with school, you're kind of on your break right now. So I thought, hey, let's try and, let's put something together.
Yeah. It's, in between semesters, and, you know, a lot of times when we chat on Voxer, we send messages back and forth, but it's not like a fluid conversation. You know, it's, I'll send you a message and then, you know, when you're free, you'll send me a message or whatever. But, whenever we get together on these Google Hangouts and when we get to do throwback reviews, it's like we can actually sit here and talk about stuff and reminisce and talk about how much, more fun we had as kids. than our kids, the childhoods that they're having. So I always look forward to be able to get on the mic with you and get caught up on stuff.
This episode, I mean, normally we, our podcast is, we like to review 70s, 80s movies for the most part. We've done some off topics, maybe talked about some toys and certain times of the year. This one, just because we both have kids and our sons are both getting older. Your son just turned 16. Mine's about to turn 16 in April. And we start noticing all those differences in them from when they were a kid and just the differences of when we were growing up. And, it kind of is what I guess kind of in a way got the ball rolling for this episode. We just started talking about different things. So we've got a couple things, you know, different things that we both, I think, are bringing to the episode tonight to talk about just the differences and not to come off as these old curmudgeons who are, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you had a, not like that, but
except we, yeah, are,
I guess, but there is so many noticeable differences in the things that I guess maybe even our kids just never experienced and probably never will, or their experiences with them are just so different, right?
Yeah, that's it's not, you know, I remember saying like having my parents tell me, oh, you guys have it so easy, but we didn't know because we hadn't lived the lives that our parents lived. You know, like I remember my dad telling me, like when he was a kid, like nobody had air conditioning. like air conditioning was not a thing. So obviously, I mean, we just took it for granted, but it wasn't like we took it for granted. That was just our norm, you know? So there's so many things now that our kids, it's like, if, you know, like if you say something about the phone or something, you know, and I'll give you an example. I was just going through this old VHS tape. And, it was probably from 98, 99. I get these old videotapes, from the thrift store, and I record the commercials, and then I'll stick them up on YouTube and stuff. And anyway, this was a commercial for an MCI phone service, and it was a personal 1-800 number. So in the commercial, it was the parent and he was dropping the kid off at college. And he said, you know, you'll have to write me, but he goes, I know you're not good at writing letters or something. So I got this 1-800 personal number, and that way you can call. It won't be long distance. And I think at the end of the commercial, it says you could give the phone number to 10 different people or something like, so 10 people could use your 1-800 number to call you. And I was showing this to my kids and they didn't even understand, like, why would that be a service? Like, why, you know, they have no concept of long distance phone calls, none, right. You know, because with cell phones, it's just free, you know, and so it's that kind of thing where it's not, they can't appreciate that phone calls are free anywhere in the country because that's how it's been their entire lives.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's a kind of a good point to start off with. Not only, I mean, that was some things that I wanted to talk about, was just the comparison of the smartphones now, and we use them as well. And we're probably a fallen victim to the obsession that you can have with them, the time that we spend on them. It's kind of scary. But I mean, as kids, you had to have multiple devices to do what these phones do. So the kids don't get what it's like to have to really carry a camera around. And the cameras that they probably have used, like I know my son had used a camera for a while, but it was a digital camera. So you took the SD card out, you threw it in the computer, and it was instant, right? But as we grew up, when we were growing up as kids, you had a couple different types of camera. I mean, you had your film canister cameras, you know, your 35 millimeters. I had my first like camera that was mine as a kid was, do you remember the 110? So it kind of looked like,
yeah,
like an ice cream sandwich in a sense, like that shape, right?
Right.
Rectangular shape. Yeah. But same, it was similar to the 35, where it was a roll of film that had to be developed either at a store or remember sending them out in an envelope and you'd get it back like a few weeks later.
I remember, I think my parents must have done that, but I had a camera, like, you know, I probably got it for Christmas or something. And, I mean, the biggest difference in my head between having those kind of cameras and what our kids have is there's a cost. Or there was a cost associated with every picture, right? Because, you know, you only had X amount of pictures, like 24 in a roll or 36 or whatever. So every one was like 1/24 of whatever that roll cost. So you like wanted to, like, you wouldn't just take a picture of your foot, right? Because who wants to pay for a picture of your foot? But now with a cell phone, you take a million pictures of your foot. Who cares?
Right. And did you guys, did it happen in your family where maybe like the camera would sit around for maybe a few months with a roll of film in it?
Oh, yeah. You remember there was that term, finish off the roll, you know, like, oh, I found this camera and, you know, it's in a drawer. I think we had it for Christmas and there's 8 pictures left on it. So let's just go ahead and finish up the roll. And then that way you could go get it developed. So, but you had to pay for the roll of film. You had to pay to get it developed. Then you had to pay for the prints, you know, so it was like, I mean, each picture was actually worth something. Like, you know, my kids, both of my kids now have Facebook accounts. Mason's had one for a couple of years and Morgan's been asking. So we were finally like, okay, we'll let you get on Facebook. And the amount of pictures that they post is unbelievable. Like, I'm sure Morgan has posted more pictures than I have of my childhood.
I doubt, you know what I mean? I doubt that.
Well, I don't know. I have a lot. I do have a lot.
Yeah.
But
and they're all digitally scanned into Rob's home server as well.
oh, scan sorted, yeah, name, they have keywords. but it's just like, it's just a constant, like, I think it, as a kid, when you had pictures of something, it was a, it was an event, you know, like you had pictures of your birthday or you had pictures of when grandma came to visit or something, but you didn't have pictures of just like a Tuesday. Like those are the pictures we don't have from our childhood of pictures on the school bus.
We didn't have, you didn't have pictures of your food unless it was your birthday cake. Right?
Can you imagine of being like, I bought a roll of film and here's a sandwich I had.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just totally different, but.
And then, so you were saying, multiple, like phones replace multiple devices. What else are you thinking about?
Well, I mean, you have music at your disposal now, whether it's through Amazon, Pandora, yeah, you know, stuff like that, iTunes, where we had Walkman, which could have been, you know, a Sony Walkman. I think that's who created it, right? Or mm-hmm. It could have been, yep, you know, multiple. It's kind of like they were like Kleenex. Like you have a tissue, it's a tissue, but Kleenex is a right, brand, right? But you always ask someone mm-hmm. like, oh, hey, do you have a Kleenex? And Walkman, I think we're kind of the same way. Cause I remember I had like this red plastic one and it wasn't a Sony. I had a Sony mm-hmm. later on down the road, but I don't even remember what, I don't even know what brand it was. And it was pretty cheap, but I mean, I used that thing constantly. I mean, that was your entertainment. So there's another thing, like all that thing did was play music and it hardly fit in your pocket. It had a little belt clip, right? Or you had to walk down the street.
The one on the outside, right?
Yeah. Walk down the street holding it. You had your, you know, your headphones with the orange sponges and for ear pads.
I have this memory of this kid. This is probably maybe our freshman or sophomore year or something. We had to go to this, school assembly, and this was like the cool kid, like long hair, leather jacket, wouldn't talk to anybody, you know. And
I think I can predict what you're gonna say. He had speakers, didn't he?
Yes, it was running down his sleeve. So he was like, I was like, man, that dude is bored. He looks bored. He's just like leaning on his elbow, you know, with his head on his hand, you know. And then I said something to him and he goes, what? And he pulled his hand away and I saw the little like foam, you know, thing in his hand. And I was like, oh man. Yeah. What a great, now I'm sure every kid in school just has earbuds or whatever, you know, like it's not, probably that big a deal, but I remember that. And I remember, going to lunch. We had this, it wasn't a playground. It was if the school was shaped like a donut, you know, and then the middle area was this little courtyard that was concrete with some benches. And we were allowed to go out there, like after lunch and hang out. And my friend had a Walkman and he would take the headphones apart. And so he would like bring a tape and then we would each get one speaker, you know? So we would like sit there, like, I don't want to be that close to someone else's head now, you know, like, but we would just like sit there like with our heads next to each other, each with our own speaker and being like, oh man, this new Ozzy Osbourne tape is awesome.
See, I never did that, but when I was talking about speakers, I remember when that you could get these little box speakers that you would plug in to the headphone jack. And they sounded awful, but they were the cool thing to have.
I think I had one. It wasn't a cable, right? It just like was like plugged right into the thing.
It was a 3.5 millimeter jack that plugged into your, and it just mm-hmm. split into, instead of two headphones, it was like little speakers, like little tiny.
Yeah. I had one that was speakers. Like a little box, but the box was like, the jack was attached to the box. So there wasn't a cable. Like,
you no, there was plug cords.
Now this one was just like a box that attached directly to it. I mean, it had the jack on it. And then, you know, so it was almost like a head on top of a Walkman robot. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
No,
like
I've like seen those now, but yeah, the ones I had seen that this guy had were just literally uh-huh. like speakers that were wired. And, because I wanted to buy a set of them. Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I remember he was at like a high school or, you know, school, function or something. And he had them out sitting on the bleachers and, you know, it seemed cool, but, I don't know, kind of cheesy looking back at it. But I think most stuff was in the 80s, but God, I love them, you know?
Yeah. Well, that reminds me, I got to tell you this. The other day we went to a restaurant, and it was me and the kids. Susan was out of town. And so the kids and I are at this table, and I hear like a really loud TV. And I'm looking around like, where is this TV? And I look, and it's these people that have their phone just sitting on their table. So like they've ordered food, and now they have their phone. They're watching some TV show with it cranked all the way up, you know? So I'm like, we can hear their phone like five tables away. You know, I was like, I can't believe that. And so, it was just really weird. Like, I didn't know that's a thing now, apparently. But, so later when I was talking to the kids, I was like, you know, I haven't seen that since like when I was a kid and people would walk around with, you know, their boombox on their shoulder and they would have their music cranked up. And they were like, how could somebody, you know, hear your phone or whatever? Like, how would it be loud enough? And I'm like, no, this is a radio that was like 3 feet. Yeah. You know, I was like trying to explain.
It was what on your shoulder.
Was. Yeah. I was like, you know, you could hurt your back carrying our radio around. And so, like they just had no concept of that. You know, it was just a little funny moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, kind of transition from that. You're talking about watching TV. I mean, when we were kids, you had to watch it the night it was on, or if you were, mm-hmm. if you had a VCR and you had the blank tape, you could program the VCR, right? If you knew how to do that. And I think later on you could get like certain VCRs that had, you could put a code in, right? And then like TV Guide would give you a specific, like you'd see, you know, the TV show like Silver Spoons, and then it would say, you know, 244, and you would punch that number into your VCR, and that kind of was like an automated, you know, program, right? I didn't mm-hmm. have that.
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't either. We had my parents, my dad specifically had this thing called a child. And that was my job to, I may have told you this story before, but, it was Shogun. When Shogun, the miniseries, was going to air, it was like, I don't remember how many nights. It was like 6 hours, you know, and he really wanted to see it. And he was work nights. So he said, you know, Shogun would be on from whatever, like 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And he said, I want you to tape it. And I want you to take out the commercials. So we had like the wired remote to the VCR with a button that was just like play and pause. That was the only two things on it. And so, you know, I had to sit there for 2 hours a night times however many nights it was, 3 nights, 4 nights, and watch Shogun. And then every time a commercial come on, I'd be like, oh, put it on pause. And then, you know, God forbid you forget. Like if you had to wait until it'd be like, and now, you know, returning to Shogun. Oh, hit play and get it, you know, try to time it or whatever.
I was going
to
ask, did you miss a segment at all?
It seems like I did, but I mean, the thing is, if it was whatever, 6 hours, 8 hours, I'm like, he ain't going to miss 5 minutes of some guys riding around on horses. Like,
yeah, right.
Maybe that part's not important, but yeah, I mean, we didn't have the code thing. We just had, you know, and remember like this is what I remember about that is like when it would say, like you'd be watching TV Monday night or something after school, and then you would see the little teaser and it would say, don't forget this Friday, an ABC special, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, it's on Friday. And so now you have to wait all week. You have to plan, you know, what are you going to do on Friday? Your friends are like, hey, you want to come over? No, they're going to be showing Mr. Magoo or whatever, right, yeah. Some special, you know. And
well, not only that, even if you could program the VCR, because, I mean, most of us, I think a lot of us had one TV in the house or one main TV that had the VCR, right? Mm-hmm, I think right. Later on, like in the early 90s, that's when you started getting a VCR in your bedroom or something like that, or in the other room. But for the most part, so like you said, if you saw that there was a special on or something on a Friday, well, isn't that when Dukes is on? So you got to pick and choose. And here's the thing that like our kids totally take for granted. And I think, again, we do now progressing with the times is DVR system. So now you've got multi-room DVRs, right? So you can watch something while you're taping two other programs. So you really don't miss anything if you have cable.
Right. Yeah. Just that whole idea of being able to tape one thing and watch something else. Like, you know, later on, like, probably when I was maybe 15 or so is when, Headbangers Ball started airing, you know. Unfortunately, it was on pretty late, but I would always tape it, you know. And, I mean, if it was, I think it started like at the same time as the 10 o'clock news or something. So, you know, I have a lot of tapes where I would miss the first 15 minutes because my parents wanted to watch the beginning of the news. And then they're like, all right, you can flip it over to your little show, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, that excitement that something was just going to air one time, that you had to be there for that. My kids have no concept of, in fact, some friends of mine recently said that their kid was wanting to watch something and they were like, oh, it was, you know, it was terrible because I had to search Netflix and it wasn't on there. And then I searched Hulu and it wasn't on there. And then I finally found it on YouTube. So we just watched it there. But I'm like, that took like 15 or 30 seconds or whatever. And like, you remember, like when we were kids, if you missed, you know, a Christmas special, you weren't going to see it till next year. Like right. That was it, you know?
Unless you knew somebody that had taped it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Or even, you know, and other shows, sometimes you could catch stuff, you know, in syndication once in a while, but you had to know when it was on. But the thing is, and like you said, now you've got Netflix. So you have a whole series like Stranger Things, which is an amazing show. And I think, you know, especially for, you know, people like us or that are listening to the show that love like the 80s nostalgia. It's great to watch that show, and we won't get into it other than.
Oh, yeah.
But really, that's a show. Yeah. But that's a show where you could, if you wanted, you could sit, and I think you did it. You could sit 2 days in a weekend and watch the entire series. You know, you're talking months of watching show.
Something you said earlier, you said, you know, you could, as long as somebody taped it, you know, so you maybe you could borrow a tape from somebody else or whatever, but tapes were expensive. You know, so it wasn't like, I mean, like when, like after school every day, we would come home and watch the Muppet Show, you know? And so like when it was in syndication, you know,
right.
And I mean, in theory, we could have taped those, but you know, I mean, a tape was, I don't know, $5 or $10. I don't know how much like one blank tape was, but it was like, I didn't have, you know, 100 blank tapes. I might've had one or two that I had access to. So there were a lot of movies I had taped. And then, you know, when you were tired of it, you just taped over it. You know, it wasn't like now where you would just save it, you know, save it for, I mean, hard drives are just infinitely cheaper now compared to what VHS tapes cost.
Yeah. I remember we had a BJ's Wholesale that had opened up when I was younger and my mom would buy, you know, like a 3-pack or something. And, and pretty much, I think for the most part, everything that's on those tapes, a lot of them, I'd say probably 80% of them are HBO movies, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's on them.
Did you split them? Was it like one tape per person in the family or?
No, it was usually, and it was always on like the extended play or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You didn't want to use that. You know, the first VCR, I think the first VCR was, or VHS was 2 hour only the very first year. And then the second year, which is when we got ours, cause we got one really early, was 2 hour, 4 hour. And I was like, why would you ever use 2 hour? I mean, I know that the quality was better, but you know, cable was not HD back then. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure that the quality was better between two, but of all the videotapes I've found at thrift stores over the years, all my old tapes, everything that I've found, I never find tapes that are in 2 hour mode. It's always
4 or 6,
you know, 6 hours. Yeah. See how much you can cram on there for sure.
Yeah. But you know what? The thing that actually works out for us now is the fact that because there was so much on, I mean, so much great television back then, you couldn't watch it all and you missed episodes. Even if it was a series that you liked, you're going to miss some stuff. Now, because of things like Netflix and Amazon, YouTube, or the grayer parts of the internet, you can get these shows, these, you know, whole series and have them on what, mm-hmm. If you would have told me in 1985, like, look, in the year 2017, you're going to have multiple computers, but, and you're going to have this thing called a Plex server where all the movies and all the TV shows that you have, you can stream right. not only everywhere in your house, but when you're not at home on any of your devices, you know, it's amazing. So I feel, I mean, right now I'm in the midst of going through Knight Rider. It was one of those shows that I saw as a kid, but I didn't see it all the time, right? And there's a lot of shows like that. So now I get to go back, you know, 30 plus years later, and I get to watch those shows. And to someone that isn't, again, like you or I or our listeners who love this stuff, it's like, why would there, you know, they're like, why would you want to sit there and watch this stuff over? But for us, it's like, this is great. I'll watch this over half the shit that's on TV now anyways.
I was just listening to on my phone. I have a whole bunch of Weird Al albums, and there's a, I think it's called this. Maybe it's cable TV. It's an older song, and so one of the big jokes in it is that he's so addicted to cable TV that he gets a satellite dish installed on the trunk of his car so that he can watch TV, while he drives. And I was like, I remember what a funny idea, like how out, like, you know, Weird Al being funny and outlandish and like crazy, like what a funny idea that was as a kid. And the other day, my wife was driving, me and the kids, I think to dinner. And I looked and all three of us, the kids and myself, were all on our phones, all watching something different. So it's like, you know, this idea when we were kids, like imagine someday you would be able to watch TV in your car. And now it's like the three, like you can't get people off of their phones. You know, you can't get people like, you know, if you could get, I don't know how it is in your family, but like, I remember as a kid, you know, you're talking about taping these movies on HBO or movies that would air, like my family would have a movie night, but it wasn't like a special thing. It wasn't like, you know, a once a year, like, oh, we're having a movie night. It would just be, hey, tonight at 7 o'clock, this movie's on, and everybody would come to the living room. We would all watch it. And now it's so hard to get everybody to watch the same thing at the same time.
No, I remember we would do that as well. Or we would, you know, we'd go to, my mom would take, a lot of times she'd take me to the grocery store that had, video rentals. It was like, and it was like this little spinning rack, and you would grab a little cardboard card that had the picture of the movie, and then you would take that to the customer service desk, and then they would get the movie. It was awesome. And I was always like, I remember one year just, I would get rad. I think I mentioned on here before. I would get rad all the time. I think I got it so much to where when I tried to watch it again, like the recent year, I couldn't get into it. I couldn't do it. And I love all that nostalgia stuff, but I just was like, man, I can't do it. And I know that I could get a lot of heat from people for that one. But, man, when I was
a kid.
It's like
when you're a kid, you would go to the school library. Like I would go, there was this book on Bigfoot, and I would check it out. And then you take the little card out of the front of the book to give to the librarian and write your name on it. And I would look and like, my name would be like the last seven names.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, you're getting it again. You know, I'm like, oh, love me some Bigfoot, you know? And it was that kind of thing. I mean, I had, those go-to movies, like what you're talking about, that you would just rent the same ones, over and over because you didn't have access to them, on demand. I mean, let's say that, like we didn't, you know, like you said, we didn't have DVR. We didn't have stuff. If it was a movie that you had rented and, you know, that hadn't been on HBO or something, and knowing somebody with two VCRs was pretty rare back then. So, you know, you rent the same things over and over because you like those movies.
I do remember when we got the second VCR, though, mm-hmm. and you would do that. You would rent that movie and you would dub it.
Hook up your little RCA cables. Yeah, we did the same thing. We got a second. We got a portable VCR that came with a color camera, And the portable VCR, like, I don't know, but I got to say it weighed probably 20 pounds. Like, it was not that portable. Like, right. It had a shoulder strap and stuff, you know? And, you know, like, I remember my mom would take this VCR, like, to the zoo. She'd be like, we're going to go to the zoo for the day. And then she looked like, you know, a Channel 4 newsman. Like,
yeah, like she had it on her shoulder, right? It had, like, a shoulder
right,
pad.
You know? Yeah, she's got the VCR hanging there and the camera. I'm surprised like she didn't make me hold a boom mic or something or something. Like,
yeah, right.
Put a four on the side of it, but yeah, it, you know, so we could hook that up in the living room and hook up the old RCA cables and you know, we would make a deal. Like I would tell a friend, hey, if you rent a movie, I can make a copy for both of us. So, you know, then that way they got a copy. I mean, they'd have to bring their own tape, but you make a copy and then I got a movie for free out of the deal. So,
yeah, well, I remember doing that in like, you know, early junior high, but they were, mm-hmm. Hey, if you bring your dad's movie over, we can make a copy of it. It was that kind of stuff, but,
or even cassettes. Yeah. Did you do that? Like we had our little cassette swapping, you know, circle. We had, do you remember the RCA or whatever it was? I think it was RCA where you would join the tape club, you know, like it would be in the magazines or whatever. So you would pay.
You mean
it was like 11,
like for cassettes or videotapes?
No, this was cassettes. Yeah.
Yeah. I did the cassettes. Yeah.
And so you would pay like a penny and you would get 11 and then you had to buy, you know, like however many in the next year, like two or three or whatever.
Right.
And so we would do, like, I would do that and my friends would do that. And I had a boom box that had dual cassette things. So then everybody would, you know, like, hey, if you'll make me a copy of the Fat Boys, then I'll loan you my Run DMC or whatever, you know, at the time. And it was like our little, I mean, it was kind of like, I mean, like, if you were to tell a kid, like, it was kind of like trading MP3s, except for in real time. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, I know later they had high-speed dubbing and stuff, but I didn't have any of that. So it was, you know, if you wanted an hour-long tape, it took an hour to make a copy.
Yeah. And I was never into, I know, like, mixtapes were big for people. I had gotten them. I didn't get into making them and being like, hey, Rob, I made you a mixtape, or hey, Martha, you know, Martha, I made you a mixtape. It wasn't like that, but I would make them from the radio. Would you do that? Like, you would just sit there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I have turned all mine into MP3s now. Cause I still had all those old tapes. So I plugged them into the computer and recorded them in. And it's amazing. This is a funny thing. How many, like, I have this one tape and it starts off with Prince's Let's Go Crazy. Okay. And then there's some song, and then there's some other song, and then there's Prince's Let's Go Crazy.
Yeah, right.
And then there's like one other song, and then it ends with Prince's Let's Go Crazy. So first of all, I mean, this must have been 84, 85 when it was like on the radio all the time. But like, was my short-term memory that bad, or did I just get excited every time? I was like, oh, I better get it again.
I think that's what it is, you know, because you could listen to that song a few times. You have to rewind and try and find it. You knew it was coming back up. I remember doing the same exact thing. I'm trying to think of it was Chaka Khan. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
I Feel For You. I think that was the song, right?
Yeah.
I Feel For You.
Yeah, like, I could not get enough
of that song, man.
Yeah, and then you had it on your tape, you know, and the thing is, this is the thing that I think is most interesting about VHS tapes, about those, or like VHS tapes like recorded off of television, cassettes like this that were off the radio, is back then, the most important thing, like for those cassettes, the most important thing was the song, you know? And then you would have a little snippet of the DJ and you're like, oh, they're ruining the end of the song. They're talking or whatever. But now what's most important to me is the DJ talking, you know, like I want to hear him say, hey, it's KJ103. It's a Sunday night, blah, 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 80 degrees. And coming up is something, something, you know, like that's the part that's interesting now. Like I can get a copy of Prince's Let's Go Crazy, but I want to hear that. I like, you know, I want to see the VHS tapes. I want to see the, you know, the car commercials from the 80s.
Well, that's the timestamp.
Yeah, exactly. So it's funny because like when I was a kid and my dad had me taping Shogun and taking out the commercials, like now I wish I had a tape that was the opposite, that just had the commercials and no Shogun on it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. I know we both, and we'll, I think we'll talk a little bit about this in a little bit, but we both spend time on YouTube looking for just the commercials. You know, my mom, she kept a lot of stuff, and VHS tapes are one of those things she's kept, and they're in the basement. Like I said, I think I have to say 80% of them are movies, but not all of them. So I'm going to, you know, go through them here and there when I get some spare time and see what I can get. But I mean, pretty much, yeah. I would assume most of them are on YouTube, you know, right now anyways, but it's the fun of doing it, you know?
Yeah. Just watching them and I just had this one and it had Pee Wee's Big Adventure on it, which is a movie I have on DVD and I've seen it a million times. But when it started, it had that HBO intro, you know, with like this.
Oh,
like
the little
the
model?
One. It was the one. Yes, where it flew over the town. And then it had the thing and it was like, you know, HBO, blah, 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 PG. This show is rated PG or whatever. And it had the, and then it had Pee Wee's. You know, Big Adventure coming up next, like that. And so, yeah, it's just that, like you said, it's that little part that connects you to that time that just makes it kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing that we had is kids, and it seems to be slowly going away, like the drive-ins are, and that's the mall. You know, I mean, I know we have a mall that I used to go to as a kid that is pretty much just boxed up now. It's been different things over the years, and now there's one that's around the corner from me because I had two malls as a kid, and that one just got sold. And the stores that are in it now anyways are kind of just, you know, people have a shop and they want to put it in there type of thing. You know what I mean? Like the Gap moved out like 3 years ago. I mean, when the Gap's leaving the mall, that's not a good sign. So the food court left a few years ago. So it's kind of sad, but I mean, I don't know about you, but did you go there with your friends and just kind of like cruise the mall on a Saturday? Like, what are you going to do?
Let's go to the mall. Yes. So you mentioned, my son turned 16 years old last week and he was talking about, he's like, man, I can't wait to, you know, to be able to ride. Now he's had a motorcycle, but you know, it's a smaller motorcycle. He can't go on the interstate. There's a lot of things he can't do. So when he's taking his driver's test tomorrow. So he's going to get a lot more freedom. And so one of the things I mentioned was, you know, you could take your friends or meet your friends and hang out at the mall. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He was like, why would I go to the mall? And I'm like, cause that's what people do, you know, but apparently that's what people did. That like, that's not what he and his friends do. But I, there's a mall near me called Crossroads Mall. And, it was, I don't know that it was ever on a great part of town. But it was in an area that kind of went downhill. And in the late 2000s, there was a gang related shooting in the mall. Like these people shot at each other and that was it. Like after that, nobody went to the mall and it, you know, died. And they recently, so it closed down and then they reopened it and no one went to the new one and now it's closed again, you know? So, I mean, it's just not going to make it. But when I was definitely, I mean, well before driving, like when I was 12, 13, 14, the big thing was, you know, oh, get our parents to take us to Crossroads Mall and drop us off, you know, and there were like three or four stores in a row that we would always go to. Now, it goes without saying that one was a huge arcade, Le Mans Arcade, and it was in the mall and it was Bally Le Mans. So, you know, that was, you know, we had arcades around us, but they were small and privately owned. So they might not have brand new games and stuff, but, you know, the Bally's Like, if there was a brand new game, like the day whatever Gauntlet came out, they had it. The day there, you know, anything that was like Dragon's Lair, when it came out, they, that was the first place. Anytime like I saw a game for the first time, it was usually that arcade. So that was a big stop. And then right next door to that, was this hobby shop. And that was where you got your Dungeons and Dragons. You got all your manuals and your modules. They sold dice. Like I saved up one time and went in and got a whole set of green, like see-through dice, you know, that came from that place. And in the back they had like models and like Warhammer, I think is, I didn't play that, but like the, you know, little miniatures and models and even like model cars and stuff. But that was right next to the arcade. So of course, when you ran out of quarters, you had to go somewhere. So there was that. And then, it was a two-story mall. And then right above that was this place that we used to call the Ninja Store. Like, I don't know. It was like an Oriental, like they would import stuff, you know, and mm-hmm. you would go in there. And in the front would be like, oh, you know, like vases, and they would have like these, like swords, like really ornate swords on display. But when you went in the back, it would be like nunchucks and throwing stars and, you know, like all the stuff, like probably they didn't want the adults to see when you're walking through the mall, but the kids would go in the back. So, you know, we would always check out the Ninja Store. And then of course there was, I think it was, I don't remember if it was Software Etc. first. And then I guess that's what changed into Babbage's, or maybe it was the other way around, but you know, you had your computer games and video games and stuff like that. And all of this was right near, the edge of the food court. There was, this place where we would go and get corn dogs, you corn know, like dogs. Go to the mall. With
like, I could never get into corn dogs.
Oh man. You know, well, the thing is I don't love corn dogs, but you go to the mall and then a slice of pizza would be like $4 and a corn dog was $1. And you're like, all right, load me up with a couple corn dogs and just sit there or get you a big old pretzel, you know, and we'd sit in the food court and then go back to the arcade. But man, it was like, to me, the mall was like it was like a miniature town. You know, there was like all these different places to visit in the town, and your parents were like, you're safe because you're in this town and we're in the same town. So they didn't have to hover over you.
Right.
You know, my parents would be like, well, we're going to Sears or we're going to Dillard's or JCPenney or whatever, something like that. And then they would say, you know, meet us outside the arcade in an hour or 2 hours or whatever, or in the food court. And then we just had free reign, you know, it's a shame, I think. And I don't know how your kids are, but like, I never wanted to be the type of parent that watched over my kid and didn't let him go do stuff, but it kind of happened. Like it kind of like I want my kids to go out and play with other kids and do stuff. But then when they walk out the front door, I'm like, well, don't go too far or yeah. Be sure you have your cell phone. So it's like the thing that I don't want them to do, I kind of made them do it, you know, and I feel a little bad about that.
Yeah, I don't. And I'm the same way. But it was a different time. And I think we were in that transition as we were kids when things started to really, you know, you had the Walsh store that was huge when we were younger. And that was kind of when things started to kind of, I think, more be publicized about stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So I was the same way. My oldest, he does walk to the one mall that just sold. It's around the corner. So he'll go there with his buddies and know. Go to a couple shops or whatever, but they don't go there all the time. They're actually there today. They went there, but,
what kind of shops do they have at the mall that they go to? I mean, what do they go do there?
There's a skateboard shop.
Oh, okay.
So they'll go there and then there's they'll get some Chinese food over there. That's what he did today. So he didn't want to eat dinner because he's like, I already ate. He got a little early Christmas present with some money. So he's, you know, he's going to go blow it on Chinese food, but, yeah, I mean, the mall is great. Not only when I was like a young, you know, teenager and I would go hang there with my friends, but I remember going there with my mother because, you know, you didn't, at least up here, we didn't have when I was a kid, We didn't have Target. We didn't have Walmart. I think you grew up with at least Walmarts. Like, we didn't get Walmarts till I was a little older.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go through to the mall with my mom, and it was like, it was hopping. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot going on there. So, and like I said, you had the arcade, you know, mom would say, "Hey, I'll be back in 2 hours, you know, have fun." And there's people smoking cigarettes back then and everything.
I think we went for like back to school shopping, but we didn't go to the cool places, you know, like there would be some trendy, you know, place, and you'd be like, "Oh, let's go there." And my mom would be like, "Keep on walking, because there's a Sears down here with Husky Levi's. That's what you're getting," you know, whatever. But yeah, it was just that one stop place. And now it's, I guess, strip malls, I guess, is what replaced it. And obviously, online stuff has replaced everything. But as just,
I think that's a huge part of it right there is the online sales. And I mean, we all do it.
I watched not too long ago. I was going through some old movies, of course, and I watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And you know, so, I mean, a lot of that movie takes place in the high school and outside of that. But there's a big part that also takes place in the mall, right? And you just see, like, you know, the people. Like, I never got to work in a mall, but as a kid, that seemed like the perfect job, you know, like there's the girls at the restaurant and they're friends with the guys that work at the theater and they know the other guys, you know? And one of my favorite, 80s horror movies. I think I've done podcasts about it. I've talked about it is, Chopping Mall, which is not really, it sounds like it would be like a slasher type thing, but it was really kind of a takeoff of, Short Circuit. It's like three robots that are security robots that look a lot like Johnny Five. And, these kids have a sleep in at a mall, overnight. And, the robots think that, you know, they get hit by lightning or something. And they think that, that the kids are intruders and they're trying to kill them. But, I mean, the movie is, as a kid, I thought it was a good movie. It's a silly movie, but now watching it as an adult, it ties into that thing. Like, man, I would love to be just locked into a mall by myself over, you know what I mean? Like just stay at a mall overnight and just wander around. Like I always wondered where those little passages went to that were like between stores. Like, where does that door go? Or where does that, you know, and like what's behind this area and stuff, and just to be able to explore it like before they're all gone. I think that would be cool, but I just, maybe I'll buy this mall that's closed down again. I want to make it like a paintball. That would be the dream. Like a paintball thing that's inside a mall where people you just run around an old 80s mall. And then we would decorate each store to be like stuff from the 80s, like make it an arcade and all that. And then just have people play paintball in there. Nobody would want to do it, but me, but, that's all right.
Yeah. I'll do that. You know what? We'll move on from the malls, but I do want to say that you just mentioned the arcade. That's another thing. I mean, arcades, you're super lucky where you have a handful of retro arcades where you can play the retro games. We don't have anything like that here that I'm aware of in Buffalo, and I've looked.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The closest one is probably like an hour and a half. I think it's at the Strong Museum, which I think you may have gone there in Rochester, and they in the upstairs they have a retro arcade.
But yeah, we didn't hit that one. But you know, a friend of mine recently opened a local retro arcade. This guy I've bought and sold machines from, and you know. It's like you see all these other ones succeeding, and he's a little bit outside of town. Like it's not straight downtown, you know, so it's a little bit of a drive to get there. And, Mason and I actually, we went there last night. I told the guy I would bring him he wanted to borrow a movie, and I said, "Yeah, I'll drop it by." And we went by, and this was 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, and we were the only people there. And I'm just so worried for like, you know, some of these arcades are doing great, but it depends on their location. And, I'm afraid that we're going to see this, you know, as those of us like you and I that have that, nostalgic connection to arcades, like as long as we're going, then they'll stay open. But when we quit going, like my kids, my kids are weird. I mean, obviously I've forced them to be exposed to certain retro things, but Mason had his birthday party at this retro arcade, and one of the girls who was there saw Space Invaders, and she said, "I've seen this game before. This is based on an app." That is literally what she said. And I saw another girl who was playing Q-Bert, which only requires one hand. You know, you don't have to jump. I mean, there's no button to jump or shoot or anything. It's just the joystick. And she was playing Q-Bert with one hand and texting with her other hand. She had her phone in her hand and doing it. And I thought, you know, this is not like they don't have that nostalgic thing, and they're not going to be the ones to support this.
So let's move on to something like I said, we had talked a little bit about the fact that we both like the old commercials. A lot of times I'm, you know, from the kitchen, clean up after dinner, getting my work stuff ready. I'll get my tablet out. I'll watch YouTube. I'll watch, you know, 80s commercials. But right now, as we're recording, it's December 18th. So I've been watching a lot of Christmas commercials, and there's a lot of compilations out there where it's just 80s commercials. You sent me, one my way to watch, and I actually ended up ripping the audio and just listening to them as well.
Oh, nice.
So I wanted to ask you if you could pick now, and this was really hard for me, but three 80s Christmas commercials. You got to pick three that when you hear those, you're just like, or watch them, it just totally takes you back to, you know, early 80s when you're a kid. You know, it's like the week or two before Christmas, that build up. Give me one of them.
An 80s Christmas commercial. One I would say is any of those McDonald's commercials. There are several Ronald McDonald commercials for McDonald's, and they're always like, Ronald McDonald will be ice skating, or he'll be out in the snow, and there'll be, he'll always have a scarf on, like that, and like he's dressed like a clown, but with a scarf, and then you go, oh, okay, mm-hmm. It must be cold, you know.
One cold winter's eve, Bertie and Grimace wandered McDonald's land in search of...
Look for Ronald!
Got any bright ideas?
When lo and behold, a little star hopped from the heavens and twinkled down to earth.
Look, Grimace, a falling star!
Ooh, maybe we can catch it!
And so they did.
You'll make the perfect gift for Ronald.
The little star was wrapped and ribboned and given... But,
oh, dear me.
Twinkle, it didn't.
You see, Bertie and Grimace, a star can never belong just to me. It belongs way up high for everyone to see. So let's wish him home, where he'll twinkle and glow.
And so they did, as they stood in the snow.
Look, the star's back at home in the sky. Good as new. And I have the best gift of all. Friends like you.
Happy holidays from McDonald's.
Something about those McDonald's, the Christmas ones, you know, where especially like when they're outside, when it's snowing and stuff like that, that really takes me back to a time, that place, you know. What about you?
Oh, I agree with the McDonald's ones. One that, I just actually saw them play the other day. Now I got rid of my cable. I cut the cord. So I have my TV is all over the air. So I get to see some older commercials anyways. And it was the M&Ms. And when they're walking in the room.
Yeah.
And then Santa's there. And mm-hmm. Neither one of them believe in the other one.
Yeah.
And Santa faints.
Ow. So you think Santa will like these red and green M&Ms?
I don't know. I never met the guy.
He does exist.
They do exist. Santa?
So that special that you mentioned, I found a thing online. I think it was on YouTube, and it was 1 hour of 80s Christmas commercials. And so I was showing it to my kids, And I said, did you notice something about these commercials? And they said, no, what? And I said, there's no CGI. You know, it's all like puppets, like the McNuggets are, you know, on little sticks. Yeah. And they have strings to make their mouths move. So you were just talking about the M&Ms, like, I liked it a lot better back then when things were like practical effects on commercials and stuff. Like you didn't have a $1 million budget for a commercial. You just crank out some animation or get a puppet and then you're like, all right, we're good. You know, get a guy in a clown suit and a scarf. We'll call it good.
Did you guys have a store called Hills?
No.
Mm-mm. No. All right, because there was commercials here, and I showed my kids, and it's one of mine, but I guess it must be a regional thing, Hills. It's kind of like a Kmart type of store, and their jingle was Hills is where the toys are. Mm. And I'd say in the mid-80s and up, they had a little, I think he was like a little... Well, it's Christmas time, so probably like a little elf or something. But he was a little creepy looking, and he would talk in this little high-pitched voice. And he would kind of go through what some of the specials were and things that they had at the store.
Yeah.
I showed my kids, and they're just like, Dad, that is freaky.
According to legend, little folk know Hills is where the toys are.
Hills Toy Layaway, just 10% down, a small service charge. Lays away toys, little and large. Hundreds of toys. Express layaway, too. So layaway is even easier for you. Remember, Hills Toy Layaway. One reason they're different and why they say...
Hills is where the toys are.
At low prices, every day.
But man, I hear those things and right back to being a kid in the 80s.
You know, there was one thing that any... Star Wars commercial, and they always start with that same music, you know, that it's like,
yep.
Da, da, da. It almost sounds like an A-Team, like kind of theme at the beginning, you know.
No life forms here.
Wampa!
New Hoth Wampa, Luke Skywalker, and Han Solo in Hoth outfits, each sold separately.
I'll look higher.
Wampa! Wampa!
R2-D2, use your sensor scope. I can't find Luke. Hey, you big fur coat, try me on for size.
Wampa, 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 Wampa,
Wampa. Thanks, Han. And you too,
R2. New Hoth Wampa, R2-D2 with sensor scope and other action figures, each sold separately from Kenner's Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back collection.
When I see those, I'm like, I can remember like what Christmas or what birthday that year would have been. Like, what year did I want that toy, you know? And ours, I think for some reason, service merchandise. I don't know if you had service merchandise, but
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. They were a big thing for a big place for us to shop at, especially around Christmas time. And I remember like maybe you had to like whatever you were going to buy, you got the card and you took it up front or something. And then they would go get it, you know? And so it was like torture because sometimes you would go and you would see a toy. But then there was no cards because they were out of it. So you're like, oh, but it's like right there. Like you could see it, but sold out, you know. But I think probably maybe Empire Strikes Back, probably both because the age and because there were so many snow-related toys like Tauntaun and the Wampa and all the Hoth bases and snow speeders and stuff like that. Just there's that tie-in of the snow, you know, planet and winter and holidays and stuff. And, you know, just wanting, asking Santa, like, I wonder what Santa, like now, and maybe they always know those guys are good, but you know, now a kid would go to Santa and be like, you know, I want a new phone. I want a case for my phone and a skateboard. And it, you know, Santa knows what those things are. I would go to Santa and be like, I want a Wampa and a Tauntaun and the Slave One. And I wonder if he had any idea what that stuff, you know, he was probably like, okay, kid, whatever.
Yeah. Right. Cause they're so specific to, yeah. To a certain line of toys. Yeah. You know, yeah, I said top three, but you know, there's just a couple of them that I think stir back some memories, but it's funny because you bring up service merchandise. And that was one of the things that I had in my notes I want to talk about is when you ask anybody, you know, how did you make your Christmas list as a kid? A lot of people will tell you they had the Sears wish book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the Sears wish book, but we had another store here. And again, this could be a regional thing, but it was called Brand Names.
Mm.
And Brand Names was the same model as Service Merchandise. I think it's just on a smaller scale. And like I said, it may have just been a regional thing, a Western New York thing, possibly. I'm not really sure. There aren't any around anymore. They've been gone for years. But it was the same thing as Service Merchandise. And I think we actually got a Service Merchandise after Brand Names had been around for a while. Maybe Service Merchandise kind of closed out Brand Names, maybe. But there's no Service Merchandise here anymore. But it was the same thing. You would go in there. And you'd fill out your card, and then that you'd kind of put it in a box, and then they would just grab them and fill the orders and call your name or number. Mm-hmm. But that was my wish book, was the Brand Names wish book.
Ah.
I can remember looking at that thing all the time. I think you would get it like twice a year or something. And so I didn't have the Sears wish book. I had the Brand Names book. And the first year that my parents were divorced, my father, I was over visiting, and he got the Brand Names book out, and he's like, circle what you want for, you know, things you want to, not that, like, not, it wasn't in a way of like, circle what you want, you know, and I'll go get it. It was just kind of like, you know, circle what you want and we'll see what happens type of thing.
Yeah.
And, that was, I mean, I would just love when it would come like the Christmas catalog or something to look at that thing. So, but I have been going to, I think it's Wishbook.
Yes.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Just, I love that site.
I mean, I don't have the connection to the actual wish book, mm-hmm. but the items in there obviously were all the same. And it's crazy just to go through and see that. It's pretty awesome.
What a great job that would have been to be the guy who had to set up all the toys.
Staging all the Kenner stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like, oh, now today, Bill, you're on He-Man. You better set up the old Castle Grayskull and set up all the He-Man guys. We did have, the wish book. We had this, little end table in between the couch and the love seat. And it was like shaped like an octagon, and the front of it opened, and the door was like two panels of the octagon. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah,
was,
yeah, I know exactly what you're
talking about.
Yeah.
And that's where we kept like the phone book, and then the wish list, like the catalogs and stuff were always in there. So, I would just go pull it out and lay it on the floor. And I remember, like, this is so stupid, man.
That sounded horrible.
The catalog. But I remember, like, you remember that, oh, this is going to sound even worse then, and like the excitement building, the anticipation, like you're like, I'm almost home. I'm almost to the Star Wars page. Cause it would be like, you know, the first part would be clothes, and you're like, eh, flip. And then there's like the camping stuff, and then bicycles. And then you're like, oh, I'm getting closer and close, you know, and then there would be, then all of a sudden those toy pages, I loved. And then, you know, starting what, 83, you'd have the video games and computer pages, and you'd go through and, oh man. So when I was a kid, Santa brought stuff, but also our parents gave us stuff, but my parents were firm believers that nothing happened on Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve was, you know, we would have dinner or whatever. We would watch if there was a television, like Rudolph or something was on TV, we would watch that. We would put the, you know, the Christmas cookies on the plate, get the milk on the fireplace, all that stuff. And then you went to bed. So there was no presents on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning, we would have, there would be a few, like whatever our big present was, would be out and unwrapped. So that's what Santa brought, was whatever was unwrapped. And then all the other stuff would be like from my parents and from relatives and stuff, but it would all be wrapped. So,
right.
So we have continued to do that with our kids. But what has complicated things is that my wife's family always did stuff on New Year or on Christmas Eve. So they come over to our house and we do gifts with them on Christmas Eve. And then we all go to bed, and then they get more stuff Christmas morning, and then we go over to my mom's, and they get more stuff Christmas afternoon. So my kids have like 18 Christmases now somehow.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, when I was a kid before my parents got divorced, and even afterwards when I would go with my father when I was still younger, we would usually get together at like my grandmother's house. My aunts and uncles would come, and then we would, you know, open presents there Christmas Eve after dinner and everything. So we've kind of just brought that into our home. My wife kind of did that, but, you know, that's, we don't have real big Christmas traditions. The only other thing that I've kind of brought from my childhood to my kids, and, you know, Gabriel is, my youngest, he's 9, and Summer is my daughter. She's 11, and my oldest is Ethan. He's 15. And they've been doing this ever since they were kids. And like I said, I did it as a kid, and that's the Christmas ring. So basically like the Christmas calendar ring. So you cut a ring every morning, you get up, you go cut a ring off. And as the chain gets small, shorter and shorter, the closer you are to Christmas. Oh,
that's a good idea.
And we'd always do it with red and green construction paper. Cause that's like, you know, the universal Christmas colors. And so I brought that in with my kids, and now, as they're getting older, Gabriel's the only one who gets up every morning, and before he does anything, he just walks over to the chain and cuts off a ring. The other two, Ethan just is like, yeah, I'm not doing it. And then Summer, I have to kind of be like, you know, you're 3 days behind, Summer.
Right.
It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. It's hard to watch them grow up and start to outgrow some of those traditions. And I know we did it, as kids. And then, you know, once you have your own kids, then you bring that stuff back into the fold. The rule in my house Christmas morning was no one was allowed to get up before 6 a.m. So, you know, I would get up at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and sit there and lay and watch the alarm clock, watch every minute tick by until 6 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, you could come out of your room, go. And the first thing you had to do was wake my parents up and be like, it's 6 o'clock. And then they would come out, and then you could start, you know, opening your gifts. So we did that same thing with our kids, you know, and my kids were the same way. Christmas morning, it was like, you know, I know it's eating at them, but you're like, no, not till 6 o'clock. That's the official time. And last year for sure, we had to wake the kids up. We were like, hey, it's 6 a.m., you know, and they're like, oh, can we sleep in till 7? We're like, no, grandpa's here. Come on, you got to get out, you know. And so, and it's kind of, we have a logistical problem or issue in our family, which is my dad wants to be at my house when the kids open their gifts, but he also wants to be at my sister's house. And so, you know, her kids sleep in a little bit. So we've always said, hey, my kids do it at 6 a.m., you know, so it's kind of like now we're locked into that time. So if he weren't coming over, we would probably be like, oh, you can sleep in a little bit. But because it's like things need to happen. Now, I'll tell you one other Christmas tradition that we have had every year since we've been married. When we were kids, we, you know, we got up at 6 a.m, opened our presents, did everything. And then it was time for breakfast, and my dad would cook waffles. Now, my dad did not cook breakfast for the family probably the other 364 days a year. I mean, it was not like my dad did not cook breakfast, but Christmas morning, he would make waffles and some scrambled eggs and stuff and bacon. And that was our Christmas morning breakfast every year. So when my parents got divorced and Susan and I started having our own Christmases, my dad came over, he showed up Christmas morning and he had his waffle iron, and he was like, we're going to make waffles. And so except for the year that we were away in Spokane, every Christmas morning, my dad has come over and has made waffles. So that's what we'll be doing Christmas morning. Oh, probably 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know, after, the presents are open and everybody's sitting around, then we'll, in fact, My dad only eats waffles one day a year, so he leaves the waffle iron at our house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the waffle iron, I mean, it used to be he would bring it over, but now he just leaves it here.
That's a good way to, you know, limit your intake of waffles by leaving the waffle iron there. You know, we're kind of getting towards that time. Man, it just flies by. I had so many notes of things I wanted to talk about, but we'd be here forever. But the one thing I think that we probably should just touch on, we both talked about it, but didn't want to do a complete review of it. I know we did this with the first one, and this is the second in the new trilogy of Star Wars
movies. Oh boy,
The Last Jedi, and I'm pretty sure we did a Force Awakens review.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't want to do that, man. I'd rather just talk about random stuff like we did today and about being a kid at Christmas. But I thought it'd be kind of, you know, remiss if we didn't go over it a little bit. Your thoughts, my thoughts on the movie and the franchise moving forward from this point.
Yeah.
You saw it opening night, right? And I just saw it last night on Sunday.
My wife, purchased tickets for opening night for us. I gotta say that after the last movie, not Rogue One, but Episode 7. After Episode 7, I was kind of convinced, like, this new Star Wars is not my Star Wars anymore. Now, I'm sitting in a room, you can see, I mean, I have shelves behind me that are filled with Star Wars stuff. I have a Star Wars room in my house, so there's nobody more Star Wars than me. But, you know, I was definitely going to see it, and we have a tradition. I've seen, except for the first one, I've seen everyone opening day. So Susan was like, you know, we got to do it for the tradition. So she bought tickets, 4 tickets for the 10 o'clock showing. We had 30 minutes of previews before ours. So the movie didn't start till 10:30. And this is the longest Star Wars movie ever. 2.5 hours. It's 152 minutes. So 2 hours, 32 minutes. So it is the longest Star Wars movie, which means on a school night, we were leaving the mall at 1:15 roughly. I mean, by the time we got to the parking lot, you know, so I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be Father of the Year for keeping my kids out, but,
or are you? Because you did take him to a Star Wars event.
I know, but they don't care. That's the difference.
They're like, Dad, really? We have school tomorrow. We just want to go to bed.
Exactly. They were like, oh God, here they come with the lightsabers. Blah blah blah. So I thought, you know, I have this problem with every Star Wars movie. Like when I saw Phantom Menace, when I walked out of Phantom Menace, I was like, oh my God, that Jar Jar is a genius. I can't believe they did that. That's such a great idea.
I really don't think you said that.
When I walked out of this movie, I was like, that was a good movie, but there's just some not very Star Wars things happening in a Star Wars movie. Like,
right,
the Force is not acting the way that the Force has worked in every other movie. And people like Luke specifically is acting in a way that Luke has never acted in another movie. So that part, like when I walked away from it, that was my initial, like, I thought as like, if this was a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I would have loved it. Like an action, there's all this stuff, you know, but the parts of it that are tied to Star Wars that weren't right, it felt like it was a guy who went, eh, I saw Star Wars once or twice. I could take a shot at writing this. Like, it just didn't have that tie. And I think part of that is probably intentional. Like, to me, I told Susan afterwards, I said, it's amazing to me that BB-8, the little rolling droid, does more in this movie than R2-D2 has done in like the last 5 movies combined, you know, like they're really, you know, when you have Princess Leia or General Leia, going, I don't know what we should do. And then all the new characters are like, we know what to do. We'll save the day. And that's what it felt like to me. Like, it's a very obvious, I mean, obviously it's a bridge between episode 7, episode 9, but it's also a bridge between the old characters and the new characters. Like, they're just, you know, Luke is the cranky, whiny old man that doesn't want to help. And it's got to fall on the new people. And so that's what it felt like to me, was they were making a point of the old Star Wars is fading away, and the bright new shiny Star Wars people are the ones that are going to take over.
Yeah. And you said it, that it's not our Star Wars. Right. Mm. And, you know, I can't quote, I don't remember exactly what he said, but a guy that we're both friends with on Facebook, Tom Burgess, I believe he, what's his website? I grew up Star Wars.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so the guy knows his Star Wars. He's got some nice, if you see some of his pictures he puts up, he's got some nice shrines in his house as well.
Yeah.
And I saw he had wrote basically the same thing. Like, this isn't for us. This is for the new generation of fans. And I'm fine with that. If you go back and listen to our Force Awakens, I haven't heard it in a long time, and I don't know why you really want to, but I'm pretty sure I was a curmudgeon old man. I was pretty upset because, you know, we had recorded an episode, a pretty impromptu episode, when the Force Awakens original trailer was dropped, and we were super excited. So there was a lot of excitement going into that movie, and I was very, very disappointed with that movie in particular. The storyline, you know, a lot of people say it. I felt that way. It was very A New Hope-ish, right? But, you know, that's 2 years ago. Rogue One came out. I was very happy with it. I thought it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, they took a little smidgen of something that had been mentioned in the original Star Wars, and they made a movie out of it. And I liked that. I liked how that played out. This one, The Last Jedi, I kid you not, I did not watch any trailers, anything on this movie leading up to it. I didn't listen to any podcasts that were Star Wars podcasts. I knew nothing going into this movie other than what I remembered from Force Awakens. So I didn't go into this with the highest of expectations, right? When I talked to my wife about it, and my oldest son as well, I said, you know what? Like, kind of like what you said. I said, if this was just a movie, I'd say it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Being a Star Wars movie, to me, it wasn't that good. But again, this isn't for us. So I'm not upset about it or anything. I'm not mad. Like, oh, this movie sucked, like I was with Force Awakens. I'm just like, look, it's a new time. It's a new era. It's just when you're taking the characters from the trilogy that we grew up with and kind of interjecting them for, I think, like you said, that reason to do that transition, it just seems very forced and it doesn't seem natural in the films. I just don't really like it. And I thought there was too many things that were trying to be silly, like when Rey cuts through with the lightsaber, the rock, and it falls, and the the caretakers, like, it kind of knocks their stuff, and it's kind of like, oh no, not again. The caretakers got to pick up the mess again. You know, I just didn't like that. I didn't like Luke's character. I really, like you said, with the stuff with the Force, I really got perturbed when I saw Leia, using the Force to drift through space and not, you know, freeze or explode in the middle of space. I was just like, come on.
So without going into too deep into spoilers or whatever, the way that they start, the new thing that they can do with the Force basically is to appear to one another. So, you know, if one person, you know, kind of like the old thing that the ghosts, the Jedi spirits would do, where they would appear in front of someone. But this just looks like a normal person. Like, there is a connection between Kylo Ren and Rey, and they keep appearing to each other. And at one point, Kylo Ren, like, Force appears in front of Rey where it's raining. And then when he goes back to where he was, he's wet. So it's like he was there. And I mean, when I'm watching it, I think it is important to Star Wars fans that, I saw someone say, someone online said, well, you're just old and that's why you don't like it is because this is new or whatever. But the thing is that like, I'm thinking of when, Obi-Wan in one of the prequels, when he goes to, I think it was Kamino or one of the planets, and then to talk to the other people, like he appears as this little blue hologram. Like he doesn't force appear somewhere. Like, I mean, this is a thing that he couldn't do, or Jedi's couldn't do this. And in the originals, Darth Vader was never just showing up wherever Luke was and being like, ha ha, I could see you. Like it was just something.
Well, even the emperor would show up as a hologram to Vader. And I mean, he's supposed to be the most powerful Sith at the time. So
yeah. And they're even showing up, even though they don't physically know where the other people are. So it's not like you go, I know Sean's at home, I'm going to appear in New York. It's like they just go, oh, wherever they are, from a storytelling, it's like a problem. Like you can't just have people teleporting around because it breaks the continuity from a lot of other movies, things that have been established.
Yeah. So like I said, as a movie, if it were just some movie, mm-hmm. I'd be like, yeah, it was pretty cool. You know what it is too? And we really do have to we do have to wrap up. But I think all the special effects I didn't care for the prequels really either. I thought the storylines and those were kind of a drag.
What? I thought Jar Jar was amazing.
Yeah.
It's a breakthrough.
But, you know, in this one, you see, some new creatures and everything, but I think the puppets that were used in the original, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something that makes them special, like the work that was, and not to say that there's no digital artists working on these things, but it's not the same as how they took a Tauntaun that was just basically a head and a neck in shots and made it look like an actual creature.
Yeah.
It,
built on 2x4s and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You lose something with that. But I mean, look, if this brings, new fans to the franchise and they go back and see the original trilogies and can, enjoy those, but maybe they won't. Maybe they don't like that. It's a time gap. It's a generation gap and whatever. But, moving forward for me, it's like, look, I'll go see the next one that comes out. And I probably won't like it, but maybe I will, but if my kid, like my youngest really liked it and I don't want to ruin it for him, which I think I kind of didn't with The Force Awakens. I think I was so negative on it that my kids became negative and I don't want to do that,
Yeah.
So moving forward, go see him. And, he asked me after this one, he's like, Dad, you like it? I go, oh, yeah, it was really good, And then I told my wife, I'm like, yeah, I didn't really.
Well,
I don't need to tell him that.
Yeah. I think for me, like I thought this was better than The Force Awakens, but afterwards, I think, and I was just thinking about this earlier today, I think it's because The Force Awakens was so jarring with this new style that I was already kind of expecting, I already knew a little bit. I didn't know the plot, but I knew what to expect, like, style wise going into it a little bit more. I didn't expect to see Luke drinking milk from a creature's. There was a strange, that may be the strangest thing, in any Star Wars movie.
Anyways.
I'll just tell you this. The guy that, Ryan, the guy that directed, wrote and directed this one, but he's been signed on to do episodes 10 through 12. And so, I mean, I will go to number 9 opening day, and then that might be kind of where I draw the line, where I kind of retire as, the Star Wars guy. If that's the way it's going, then I think they can have it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, I told my kids, it's like, look, we have the original trilogy. I love it. My kids love it. My wife loves it. Anything else, it's bonus. If it's good, it's bonus. If it's not, hey, it's all right. We'll pop in the Blu-ray disc and watch the old one.
Actually, it doesn't take away the old stuff.
Plex server. Yeah, I'll go on my Plex server and I'll watch the original the way it was originally shot.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's enough on that. I wanted to do a full episode on it. We probably spent too much time on it. But
may the force be with us, old timers.
Yeah. Yeah. This was fun. But, anyways, that's going to wrap up. Rob, where can people find you if they want to see what else you've got going? I know with school you've slowed down a little bit, but you do have all your archived material out there.
Yeah, well, people can always find me at RobOHara.com, and all of my shows have been moved to podcast.RobOHara.com, so you could go there, or there's a link from my website, and if you want to catch up with me other than the website, of course, you can always find me on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter as Commodork.
Very cool, and I actually have kind of a landing page myself for all the shows that I'm doing. We've got throwback reviews here, and I have a couple running podcasts that I do, the Negative Splits, and then I have my own personal running, the Average Runner podcast, as well as a show I do with my wife called the Horrified Chicken podcast. You can find all those, all that stuff and links to those specific shows and websites if you go to throwbackreviews.com/alldutchpodcast. You'll find links to that. Right now I'm trying to do a little updating with the Negative Splits. I'm having some trouble, but there's links to all those shows on the sidebar too. So that's the kind of the stuff that I'm doing, as well as I'm on Instagram and stuff like that. So, hopefully you're listening to this or at least downloaded it into your podcast before Christmas. And, hopefully everyone has a great, Christmas or whatever you're celebrating and a happy new year. And Rob, let's try to make this happen a little bit more frequently in 2018.
That sounds good to me, man. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And like you said, happy whatever you celebrate to all the listeners out there. Hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. And we will talk to you in 2018.